And we're talking about the Browns and their loss to the Raiders yesterday. It was 20-16, 10-0 lead. Scored the first two times you had the ball, and your offense didn't score again. Now, that one's,
that's bad?
It's starting to baffle me, Andy, if you want to know the truth. I mean, we've seen them. On one hand, I commend them for being so good at the beginning of games. And they've scored six touchdowns this year. As we've mentioned, three of them have come in the first possession of the game. That means every other possession, over four games, the offense has scored three touchdowns. That's bad.
It's pretty noticeable, too.
Well, it sure is. It makes you Isn't it weird?
Yeah, I'm really excited after they score the first time. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be able to run all over these guys. And then all of a sudden you're like, so much for that.
You know, that's the funny thing about it. And I agree with you. It's like, man, you just put together a great drive. This is going to be a great offensive day. Nothing.
And then it leaves you hanging all day going, well, they did that in the first drive. They're going to be able to do that anytime they want.
Yeah, and they can't. Jason is in the home of the Browns, Berea. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, anybody got any boxes you see anybody walking out of the facility today?
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Harrison Bryant. Bingo.
Oh, I don't think I had Harrison Bryant on there. No. You'll get one. You'll get one. I'm sure you will.
I'll try. Nobody's able to, like, put their, you know, finger on the pulse of, like, what it is, like, why, you know, just the whole offense, why it's, you know, starting off the 4-for-4 in the first four games of scoring on the opening drive. And I think, obviously, I'm not, as Watson likes to say, I'm not in the film room, but I think that, you know, Kevin Stefanski's been calling games pretty conservatively, and that you could do, like, on the first drive if you have it all set up. But as the game goes on and things start to break down, you got to get a little bit more, you know, out of the box. And, like, you know, they say, like, the football jargon, like, push the ball downfield. Like, it's kind of Watson's style and how he was successful in Houston, if you really think about it. And I was just wondering what you guys think about that when it comes to Watson. I'm not saying I'm a big Stefanski guy, but do you feel like Kevin Stefanski, or if it's Ken Dorsey, or I don't know who it would be on, but are they being a little bit too conservative when it comes to, you know, taking shots downfield and, you know, making those risks? I feel like Kevin Stefanski is being a little bit too conservative when it comes to that.
I wonder if he's being too conservative or if he's trying to protect his quarterback because he doesn't think his offensive line can hold up long enough for him to get the ball downfield. That said, Deshaun might not be getting rid of the ball quickly enough anyway.
So the truth is, I'm saying Deshaun Watson has always been a guy that stayed in the pocket. Like, he was never a great pocket presence guy. Even in Houston, he was always taking more sacks than, you know, he should be. But it could be like, you know, if you are a team like the at the end of the season, the Browns, when they had Flacco, it was more or less the same offensive line. But what they were doing was they were a pass pro team, and essentially if they had that mindset of, like, we're just going to push the ball downfield regardless of our offensive line, I feel like teams just kind of figure out a way to get it done regardless of their offensive line. If they just, you know, have their receivers just running deep routes and not, you know, cutting to the middle of the field more often than not, if you watch the Flacco deep balls, most of them were downfield on the sideline. There was not much the middle of the field stuff that, you know, Kevin Stefanski has been calling as of late.
Jason, thank you. It just seems all out of whack right now. And remember, the one thing about last year was Watson had, I believe it's the exact same record in games of the counted that Flacco had. They both won games. Flacco looked better. Andy's wrinkling his face.
No, I'm just trying to remember. That's all.
Yeah, it was.
Wait, you said Flacco. Sorry, dude.
No.
You said him twice, yeah.
I didn't.
No, you did.
Jake just did.
Okay, Jake.
You missed it.
Did he say twice or no?
I think he said it once.
Once, okay.
There's only one Flacco spot on the bingo card, isn't there?
He's up to four on your bingo card. I'm doing a rolling total, and we'll be doing this for 2 days now.
Let's go to Los Angeles, California. Happy Tom joins us. Hi.
Hi, Angry Tom. Happy. What's up, Angry Tom?
Hey, guys. Look, in my anger management classes, they talk about therapy, of it talking through your issues. So
yes.
Hear me out. Stefanski. I'm disappointed. We're going to learn from this. I'm going to learn from this. I have to do better every friggin' week. Seriously? Shut up. okay? It's still early in the season. We need to make adjustments, all that, over and over and over. Watson, averaging 5 yards a game for the first 4 games of the year. Seriously? We're paying this guy $30, $40 million to throw 5 yards? Chubb can do better than that. Get rid of this guy. Haslam's ego. Shut up. Dump the guy. Put in Winston. He can do better. I am sick and tired of the same excuses every week. Do a better job. Quit saying it's early in the season. They're driving me freaking crazy.
Do you feel better? Oh, did he hang up? Oh, man.
He dropped the mic and he left, Andy. That's the way you're supposed to do it right there.
No, that anger management class is not working. You need to talk through at the end. You need to get it off your chest. And then we need to all take a deep breath and go, I do feel better.
Oh, no, as someone whose job it is to make sure our license remains intact, yeah, I'm thrilled he hung up there.
Okay, good job.
Yeah, now, in fact, more should hang up at about
now,
that.
Now, interesting, he brought up a number of topics, none of them on the bingo card.
Now, think about this. If you're in Los Angeles, that guy's hopping in the car and driving in Los Angeles now, as if it's not bad enough.
Yeah, that's bad for him. I feel bad.
Jack is in Solon. Jack never gets that angry. Jack is always very analytical. Jack?
I'm not angry.
See? He's analytical.
The last caller doesn't know what he's talking about. I just need to tell you that much. The problem is not Deshaun Watson. It's not early in the season. The season is over, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, worth a quarter point, which means we're on a pace to win 4 or 5 games. Maybe we'll win 6, but that's beside the point. Here's the problem with the team. My son and daughter-in-law went to Vegas against my better judgment, but they went to Vegas because they wanted to see Vegas and they wanted to see the Browns. And they had great seats, and they were able to view the Browns' sideline and bench.
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh. Inside info.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Here's the problem.
Is this the Watson and DeJuan Jones thing?
Well, that occurred during the game, and of course, DeJuan Jones can't move, and so that was probably warranted. Although you don't do it, you don't do it then. You may do it in the locker room, but the point is that the front office and Stefanski's lost the locker room for this reason. I think the main problem starts with Cooper. Now, they tried to trade Cooper. He knows that. The way he's playing, and I think they brought it up in the broadcast yesterday, I think he leads the league in drop passes thus far, as far as through the first 4 games. And that's not him. He's totally disinterested, and that has permeated through the locker room. And he doesn't want to be here. He'll probably get traded at the trade deadline, and then where are we going to be? But the problem is in the locker room, and I don't know how you fix that. Yes, our offensive line is horrible. I don't know how you fix that. But the main problem is the locker room and the demeanor of the players on the sideline, which they were right there and they viewed the whole thing. They're not into it. And even the defense is bad. This defense, the way it's playing, is totally overrated. And so how do you fix all that? I don't know, because it goes beyond just coaching and reviewing the tape to see what we can do better. Next game is the Commanders. No, that's not enough. We're going to get rocked by the Commanders, by the way. So the answer is it's the locker room. It's Cooper being disinterested, and that's permeated the whole team. I don't have an answer, but that's the problem.
Jack, that's an interesting thought. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Jack and Solon.
Is your best player your hardest worker? I think most coaches will ask you that on any team. Is your best player your hardest worker?
I don't know how you quantify such a thing, especially on a team that has anybody seven, that's 70 ever played players.
A team, anybody that's ever played a team sport knows who the hardest worker is at practice.
I've played a team sport.
And you wouldn't know who the hardest worker was at your own practice?
Not if I'm playing offense and the guy's on defense.
You don't go up against him every day in practice?
How do you judge that, Andy?
Jeff, you know, I mean, it's called respect.
You got 70 guys out there on the football field. He's without question the hardest worker, because the rest of us are dogs.
That's not, no one's saying anyone's a dog. What I'm saying is your best player needs to be your hardest worker. Those are winning teams. Winning teams see that. What do you think Kobe Bryant was? Do you think Kobe Bryant was the hardest worker on that team?
There's 15 players, you could tell.
But you can tell that in football too. Guys know who the hardest worker is at practice. There might be a couple of them, But you know who your best player is too. Who do you think they think is the best player in Kansas City? How hard does Patrick Mahomes work? I don't know. I mean, somebody else, but I do know they're a championship team. Championship teams start when your best player is your hardest worker. I'm not saying I know or I don't know, but I can tell you a good team if I walk into practice and I'm like, damn, that guy's working hard. And you go to turn to somebody
who's the Browns' hardest worker every day.
I don't know. I don't know. And I think they don't know either. And when he brings up something like that, you're trying to figure it out. That's how you don't know who your locker room is. I don't know who the hardest worker is. I don't. Nick Chubb might be your hardest worker.
He's not there right now.
So
Tony's in Brecksville. Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
And to you.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a good feeling story. I went to the Giants game. I got season tickets. I had them for 37 years. My brothers think I'm crazy every year. They say, you're going to renew your tickets? Absolutely. So my son moved his family from Connecticut to Cleveland. And Andy, you're going to love this. My grandson goes to Heights High.
Heights High. Yeah. I might have talked to him last week.
He's a freshman there. He's a freshman. I converted him from a Patriots fan to a Browns fan.
Good job, Tony. Tony, that's. I wish we had something to give you.
Good work, Tony.
So I took him to his first game. He was in awe. The look on his face, and he was wooting and woofing and doing everything. So, of course, we lose the game. And as we go home, we went to the Heights Grill for dinner, everybody.
Nice.
And good food there. And my wife says to Dante, hey, I'm sorry you lost your first Browns game. And he said, oh, that's okay. I was able to spend the day with Pops.
Ah,
how great is that?
That's great. Good story.
So it's worth the season tickets. It's worth it.
There you go, Tony. Congratulations. There you go, Tony. Yes.
Apparently, you're going to need to loan your grandson out to most people in the fan base.
Yeah, that's true.
That would make everybody
feel
better.
He got to hang out with his grandfather for the day.
That was very nice.
Yeah, you know what? I feel better about the Browns game just after that phone call. He's changed my world.
Well, he combined a father-grandson deal with Heights High.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I mean, you know, that went right to your heart.
Oh, he did. That was a heartstrings call. You're right.
By the way, gents, new Heights High drop, yay or nay?
Heights High?
Heights High!
Oh, is that how I was?
We like it.
Is that from last week?
That is. That's the only thing I grabbed from your speech. You did a really good job on that speech, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. Jeff won't listen to it. I think it's
the new high tie speech.
High tie. That's a little overmodulated.
It's a little. Yeah, I like the regular one. The old one.
Okay, fine. We can't have.
Let's hear the old one again.
High tie.
Yeah, I just go with that.
Okay, fine.
What do you think?
I don't know if we just bring it down a little. I can go back and read. I can fake it. I can go reread the speech if you want.
I like the other one.
Did you cry?
No, it's okay. We're not allowed.
Did you cry?
We're not allowed to change anything. Just keep it all the same.
Exactly. That's why they're 1-3.
No, bigger question. Did you cry when you watched the speech?
No, I did not. But
you choked up?
I did not, but I could tell. Like
It was touching.
It was touching.
Yeah, it was.
You did a really nice job.
That's not me. That's Gavin McIntyre.
Yeah, he did a very nice job.
He did. Yes. Okay.